Brian Abker from KJR 950 out of Seattle. Man, you're up early and joining us this morning, Brian. Can't thank you enough, brother.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy to talk football just about any time of the day.
Brian, you're lucky you're out there in the coffee capital of the
right.
Country. You're gonna have to hit it up after this.
Oh, I'm already on it, guys. Already on it.
Absolutely. Visiting with Brian Abker, KJR 950 out of Seattle. Hey, Brian, has it sunk in yet that the Seahawks are world champs?
You know, for the fans, they're still basking in the glow of being champs. It's, you know, 30 years in the making, and when you lose your NBA franchise and you only have one major title and that team's out of the city, it's a dream come true. For the players, they've been there, done that, got the trophy, got the ring, and now it's back to work. They've almost put it completely behind them.
Have you been surprised how well the fans have taken to the Seahawks? Because, you know, the overwhelming the national perspective is, you know, Seattle kind of a hippie town, really not your quote football type fans. But man, they've really taken to it, and people say that is the best atmosphere in the NFL.
Well, it's a great atmosphere. Obviously, great fans. CenturyLink Field is well built to really crank up the noise. And you know, this town has been a football town. The Washington Huskies, minus a few of the Tyrone Willingham years, have been huge. The Seahawks have been big. I grew up here when they were first established in 76, and that Kingdome was jammed. You guys might remember, maybe you're probably too young, but even when they were bad, when they first got going, the Kingdome was packed and loud. And, you know, they
Kurt
went
Warner.
Through a lot of, yeah, there you go, Kurt Warner. You got it. You got it. That's right, Penn State guy. So, I don't know. This town has always been a Seahawks town. They went through some bumps in the 90s when maybe the best player in franchise history, Cortez Kennedy, was defensive player of the year, and they were a two-win football team. So, no, it doesn't surprise me, guys.
Hey, Brian, when you look at, you talk about Barron's, that you guys are kind of outside of Seattle known as a hippie town. How big or how much of a marriage was it, though, when you got a Pete Carroll who kind of he doesn't fit the NFL head coach mold? How big was it when he decided to come there, and how has been that marriage been there in Seattle?
Well, you know, first of all, when it was announced that Jim Mora was going to be fired after 1 year, it was a little bit of a shock. And then to learn that Paul Allen, the owner, went out and he sought out his man, and it was Pete Carroll, and he got him. You know, a lot of people here were like, what? Pete Carroll, really? I mean, he'd already been in the NFL, two different teams, was basically a 500 coach, nothing special, had to go back to college football to establish himself. So I think there was a lot of skepticism here, but it really didn't take too long for the fans to buy into what he was doing. I mean, he's a guy that talks real fast, almost skips over some words, and you think, hey, this guy's talking to me, but he doesn't care what he's saying, and he doesn't think it's important enough for me to get. But that's completely wrong. He is just so hyper and has so much energy that his brain's turning that fast to make him appear that way. When he came here, he turned over the roster, had more moves made than any other team in the NFL as far as getting guys off the roster, bringing new guys in, trying to upgrade his roster. And now it's a perfect marriage. It's a dream come true. Everybody here loves Pete Carroll, loves his philosophy of, you know, always compete and win forever. Those sayings I'm sure you guys have heard. And he's proven it. He's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Now let's take it. The fans have begun to embrace him. How effective is Pete Carroll at relating to this new generation of NFL players and their mindset and their approach to the game, i.e. comparison to the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, possibly?
Yeah. It's funny you bring up Jim Harbaugh's name, because obviously those two, their rivalry goes all the way back to college between USC and Stanford, and the old what's your deal game where they met at midfield and kind of had some words. You know, Pete Carroll is the best with young guys, because he's like the second oldest coach in the NFL, but he's got so much energy and he's always trying to upgrade his thinking and stay on top of the newest, best things. In fact, when you're at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, which is where the Seahawks practice, you'll hear about all the different innovative things that Pete Carroll has brought in there for the players' health, for their mindset, their nutrition. You know, he's the latest and greatest type of guy. Whatever's out there that seems to be working, he's willing to give it a try. So he's perfect because he also lets these players be who they are. He lets them be themselves. Whatever type of character they are, he lets them do that as long as they stay out of trouble, and that seemed to work pretty good so far.
36 past the hour, visiting with Brian Abker, KJR 950 out of Seattle. Brian, we love our rivalries, especially down here in the South. We got a good one with Alabama-Auburn. Just how, right. How gruesome is that 49ers rivalry? Because you mentioned that it comes back from college to transcend into the NFL. Is it that big of a rival, or is it that just something that ESPN plays up?
No, it's that big. And, you know, I think all rivalries, well, not all of them, but most of them are bigger for the fans than maybe they are for the team and the players, because, you know, they've got a job to focus on every week, and every week that job's different. And you guys know that firsthand. But this rivalry is a little unique, like I said, because it kind of goes back to Harbaugh and Pete Carroll when they were in college. And now these players don't like each other. There's no doubt about it. You look at the Richard Sherman, Michael Crabtree situation. And you guys saw the play in the NFC Championship game. Richard Sherman got the tip in the corner of the end zone, tipped the ball away to Malcolm Smith for the pick to send him to the Super Bowl. Well, that was on Crabtree. And there had already been some bad blood and some history during an offseason meeting between the two at a Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver for the Cardinals, at one of his charity events. And, you know, I can't get into the details of the full story that's been told to me off the record, but there's more than meets the eye with that particular rivalry. So it's personal. So it is. It's very, very intense. It's nothing played up or made up by ESPN.
Brian, you got several Alabama guys that have made their trek out to the Pacific Northwest, starting with the most recent and Kevin Norwood. We absolutely love Kevin Norwood on this show. We called him our security blanket. I think he was one of the most underrated players in college football last year as far as his productivity, what he was able to do when it counted the most. How's he done thus far?
Man, listen, Kevin Norwood, and you know, we knew a little bit about him when he was drafted, but when you go back and you watch YouTube videos and you see how many times Alabama used him in clutch situations when they needed a big grab, and he's shown to be that guy so far in camp. He looks really, really good. He's solid all around. He's a good route runner. He's got great hands. He's picking up the blocking scheme pretty well so far. Obviously, as a rookie, that's sometimes tough to do, and that's a work in progress. But he looks every bit the part that you guys saw at Alabama, and I think he's going to really shine in this offense, and it wouldn't surprise me as the weeks go on during the regular season to see Kevin Norwood become a favorite target of Russell Wilson.
Now, can Russell Wilson and Norwood become the Largent Zorn? That's just showing my age.
I love it.
I mean, but really, when you think about those two old guys, not the most talented quarterback, taught quarterback, I should say. Yeah. Receiver just went about doing his business, but you couldn't stop them. And so I could see that developing as a great relationship. You know, the next guy has been there a little while. Carpenter moved around a little bit. How is he progressing in terms of his play there with the Seahawks?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, guys, because, you know, James Carpenter is in the final year of his rookie deal. And quite frankly, he's been disappointment. A lot of that has to do with his health issues. Now, I've been out to camp. I've seen him up close and personal, and he looks to be in the absolute best shape by far that I've ever seen him. I know he went out to Detroit and he worked out at the Barwis Gym, which is a very hardcore training center where they push you to the edge, and he's gotten himself physically fit. So the big question for James Carpenter is, can he stay healthy? Now, there's no trusting him until he shows it, and that all starts with staying healthy. But if he does, I mean, he's off to a very good start right now in camp. He's healthy. He looks good. Everything that I think the Seahawks were hoping that he would be when he was drafted, 3 or 4 years ago, he looks like he's heading in that direction this season.
visiting with Larry Vitale, visiting with Brian Hapker, KJR 950 out of Seattle. Brian, let me ask you this. There's a perception that that Alabama players, when they leave Tuscaloosa, are somewhat used up. Is that just something that we hear in our circles, or is that a concern for professional teams that the best players, from Alabama have already had their best times?
Hasn't been a concern that I've heard about any Alabama players that have come to Seattle to play for the Seahawks. Now, I'm sure if you're talking about running backs, whether it be, Eddie Lacy or anybody else, maybe that's a concern for other teams. But I haven't heard that at all from about any of the players that have come here to Seattle.
Brian Hapker, KJR 950 out of Seattle. Brian, we've talked about what it's going to take for Alabama to reclaim the title this year. You guys are in defense of a world championship. For some of us who may not follow the Seahawks as closely, just kind of tell us, what's it going to take for Seattle to get back-to-back? Because one thing we know here in Tuscaloosa is winning championships, and we know how hard it is not to win the first one but the second one.
Yeah, and that's a great question, because winning a second one is new to us all. When you're talking about how you repeat, number one is being able to stay healthy with your key players. And we're talking about Russell Wilson, the quarterback's got to stay healthy. Richard Sherman at corner's got to stay healthy. Earl Thomas, who might be the biggest key to that defense that nobody really understands at safety out of Texas, he's got to stay healthy. So your key players have to stay healthy. The offensive line for the Seahawks went through a lot of different bumps in the road last year with injuries, and guys were rotating position, and the right guard and the right tackle spot were inconsistent. That has to be shored up. You have to have a little luck along the way. There's going to be games out there where the ball's got to bounce their way. So everything involved that they had last year going on, and plus a little bit more this year, is what it's going to take to repeat as champions.
Brian, just quickly before I let you go, Jesse Williams was another name that we left off. Yeah. How's he looking? Is he going to make the roster?
It's very interesting, because here's a big man who had chronic knee issues. Everybody kind of thought he was done, but he's making an unexpected comeback. He's slimmed down. He's dropped, I don't know, gosh, 20, close to 25 pounds maybe. And I got to tell you, if the Seahawks keep 9 defensive linemen on this team, he could not only make this team, he could be a key cog in the wheel, because the Seahawks defensive line is really predicated on rotations, guys in and out of the game, keeping them fresh. Jesse Williams is a guy that a lot of people are excited that if he can make this, and I would say it would be a spectacular comeback coming off chronic knee issues, he can make the team. I'm looking forward to watching him during camp for sure.
Brian Hapker, KJR 950 Seattle. Brian, appreciate you getting up early with us this morning, man. Go get yourself a cup of coffee.
Hey, guys, appreciate it. Fun talking to you. And as long as it's football, call me anytime.
Absolutely. Brian Hapker.